Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show, presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
School Day by Chuck Berry, in honor of the first day of school here in Memphis.
So, we've been talking about school a little bit. Are your kids excited to go? First of all, when you went back to school, and now that your kids are going back to school, a mix of excitement and, damn, summer's over? Or what's the prevailing feeling about going back to school?
I don't think either of them are in the dumps about it at all. I think they're both happy to be back. All the vacations are over. It's sort of early in the summer relative to what we think of when we should be going back to school, but it sort of feels like summer's over, really. My kids like school generally, seeing their friends, the whole thing. So there hasn't been any trepidation about it. I think they're generally, what they welcome. They welcome the return.
Were you involved in any drop off? And when you were, when I went to school, everyone took the bus. Now, I went to a school where everyone lived in a community where everyone went to the same school. And honestly, in the South, busing is different, than in the North. Did you take a bus to school?
No, I never took a bus to school.
Never?
My kids have never taken the bus. And so, yeah, my wife's actually out of town for work, and we're having all kinds of various car issues. I did both drop-offs this morning.
And was it a mess?
But no, it was fine. I sort of thought it would be more of a thing. It was not a thing at all. Partly maybe I was on the early side just to make sure I got them both there, in time. When I was younger, I lived in a small town. And so I remember, not when I was first grade. I don't even remember how I got home and got there or whatever. But fifth, sixth, seventh grade, I was walking to school and walking home.
Really?
And then when I moved, because I lived close enough to walk. And then when I moved to Memphis, I know in high school, I got dropped off, and then I don't even remember how I got home. At one point, I had a car. It wasn't my car, but, I think at one point I was dropping my dad off at work in the morning and taking the car to school, and then I'd pick him up at 5 or whatever. I don't know. It's all a blur.
Right. It is all a blur. All right. Before we were speaking of school, we were doing some off-season grades, and I was going to revisit some of those again with you in the West. But before we do that, there was over the weekend, Pete Rose was recognized as part of a Phillies returning championship team. And he was celebrated and he was welcomed back onto the field and he was cheered, et cetera. And he was asked, there have been allegations about Pete Rose that when he was with the Reds, that he had sex with a minor multiple times, honestly, that there was a minor that he met and he had an affair with her, or whatever you would call it, when he was married and whatever. But the point was, is that he's a minor. She was a minor or allegedly a minor. And he was asked about it yesterday and he said, "Babe, that happened 50 years ago. Who even cares? I don't care what happened 50 years ago." And as I was thinking about this, I remembered what you said about Elvis Presley and Priscilla, that one of the interesting things or problematic things about Elvis is the Priscilla stuff. How are we to think about that in relationship to Elvis? You know, is it 55 years later? Is it whatever relevant to Pete Rose, and was it relevant to Elvis?
I mean, I think it's relevant. I mean, when I wrote about the movie, I brought it up. Like, you know, I brought it up more than the movie did. I'm not dismissive of that stuff at all. I do think it's relevant to the totality of how you think about people. It's different for how you think about Elvis as a person versus how you think about a record that has the name Elvis Presley on it, which is a slightly different thing. But yeah, no, I think that kind of stuff is entirely relevant to how we conceive people. I don't know how it couldn't be. What's the Rose thing? I mean, I saw the headline and I never got past the headline of that story, so I don't know. You know, you get to the issues of like an allegation, and like an allegation is one thing, and like whether something happened or not is slightly different. I sort of got into this. I think I mentioned last week I was reading this biography of Ricky Henderson for this book club with some of my college friends, and we had our book club meeting thing last night about it. And like I'm reading the book, and you get like 2/3 of the way through it, and like there's this, and I have zero memory of this being a story, like none. Like there was a similar and in some ways much more sordid allegation against Ricky Henderson relative to a minor, and like it went to a civil court case, and it ended up getting dismissed in civil court, and like the writer brings it up and like goes through that, and then sort of like waves it away, and I'm like, wait a minute, I just sort of just stopped me in my tracks in the book. And I know it's, if you're writing the biography, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later, I guess you can't come in and say this did happen or this did not happen. But I felt like he didn't really even try to deal with that very much. And so, I don't know. It's complicated stuff.
And both in the Elvis case and at least even allegedly in the Pete Rose case, there is the quote-unquote consensual, you know, this was a ongoing relationships with a minor, in either Priscilla Presley or this woman, Jane Doe, girl. I think according to the law, there's no such thing as consent when you are that old. But it really doesn't seem to stick to Elvis at all. Like, it doesn't seem to stick to Elvis in the same way. And by the way, these are contemporaries, basically. Pete Rose and Elvis were sort of contemporaries. That when you read this about Pete Rose, there seems like what a slime ball he was. But it doesn't feel like it sticks to Elvis.
I mean, the Elvis thing, like Jerry Lee Lewis, it was a thing when he like married his like underage cousin or whatever, and like that ruined his career for a long time. With Elvis, he didn't marry Priscilla Presley until she was of age. And whether or not
he slept with her,
their
right, we don't know.
Was consummated
sexual.
At right. That point is the claim from her is that and him is that they did not. That has been disputed in some quarters, but like I don't know. Like I don't know. I think, you know, regardless, like the fact that, like, you know, he relocated her to Memphis and put her in high school here. I mean, you know, it's a very sketchy, skeevy kind of thing. Regardless, but it's not. And then they got married, and then like she to this day is like, you know, the protector of the realm in terms of his legacy, and she's our own person with her own agency,
right.
And that's why the Elvis thing, I sort of understand why it's not that it's not as big of a deal as you think it might otherwise
right.
be.
It sort of worked, and yes, it worked out. Like she's not, you know, she doesn't feel exploited, whereas I don't really know all the various nuances of the Pete Rose situation, but I do believe that there's not that sort of ongoing respect between the two. Okay. We had Drew in here talking about a piece that he wrote in the Daily Memphian, and he was remarking that this is truly the quiet period in the NBA, although we are waiting for things to drop across the league, whether they will or will not. And so last week I asked you about some of the grades that ESPN was giving some of the Western Conference teams. Let me revisit just a few more. The San Antonio Spurs got a B+. Your thoughts?
You know, I mean, the Spurs made themselves worse, but they intentionally made themselves worse. I, you know, they had transitioned to a young team, but it was not a young team that seemed to have a lot of inherent upside. And they made what seems to be a conscious decision to, you know, hit the detonation button on the rebuild and start over on a rebuild, and to do so in a draft where people think there are two franchise players at least at the top of the draft. And so, you know, they sort of sold high in DeJounte Murray. They got a lot of assets, and they're kind of starting over. And it feels like they're not done. Like, they got a couple other players to trade at some point. I don't think Greg Popovich is the coach that's going to see this through. So I think there are some other, like, you know, dominoes to fall in terms of their pivot. But their decision to pivot, I think, for them in particular, was a good one. And I think they got good value back on DeJounte Murray to sort of start that process.
It is sort of funny. It's easier to get a good grade doing that, I think. Like, the Jazz got an A,
right,
and the Spurs get a B+, than loading up. You know, like, loading up. Because people like value. As you're grading these things, you think about value. And if you're loading up, whatever, like Minnesota, it's, you know, it paid too much. And if you're just making the decision to tear down and you get reasonable value, like the Grizzlies once upon a time did for Mike Conley, or good value, you're going to be applauded. Sacramento Kings did, they got a B. And one of the interesting things they did, of course, is they passed up Jaden Ivey, which I guess makes sense given their mix of players, for Keegan Murray, who was great in summer league. How do you feel about the Sacramento Kings?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched enough of either of those players to judge the draft thing. The perception was they passed on the higher upside
player. Yep.
For fit reasons, and that is typically, like, you know, people don't like that. But I don't. I personally don't know that Jaden Ivey is the high. You know, that he's going to be better than Keegan Murray. I mean, Keegan Murray looked great in summer league. People seem to think he's going to be really good. Is, you know, Jaden Ivey is an athletic guard, but I don't know that he's going to be Ja Morant or whatever. And so, I mean, time will tell on that decision. You know, their issue is, I mean, they just want to be decent, and they're trying hard to be decent. And is De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, Keegan Murray, you know, is that going to be a foundation of a team that can at least, like, get into play-ins and crack the playoffs at some point? And I don't know. But, like, I'm not opposed to teams just, like, trying to build competitive decent basketball teams and doing what they can to do so.
And they added Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk as sort of pieces.
That's right. I was trying to remember. It's been so long at this point. It's been weeks, right, even. But they added more shooting. The idea is you've got this attacking point guard in De'Aaron Fox and this bruiser, Domantas Sabonis, and so now their thing is, let's put shooting around them. And so in Monk and Huerter, you know, they added more shooting on the wing, and they're gonna, you know, I think they're gonna try to play fast and spread the floor, and it might work. It might not. It might. I don't know. I mean, I think that sounds like an interesting team. I look forward to watching it. I don't know how successful it'll be, but, like, I'm fine with them just trying to be decent.
The most interesting thing the Suns did, obviously, was ultimately, after a bit of a messiness, bring back DeAndre Ayton. They added Damian Lee, too, but they brought back, they matched on DeAndre Ayton, and yet they get a C+. Will they be, right now, season started tomorrow, would they be your pick to win the West?
I don't know about that. I think even the last 2 years, the concern has been Chris Paul's durability, and that has proven to be an apt concern. And that concern doesn't lessen. That concern only gets worse as the years go by. And so, you know, I think they should have done more the past 2 years to build out the middle of their roster. Their roster is great through the first 7 players, but they could be a better 8, 9, and 10, and I don't think they have done enough to do that. I still don't think they've done enough to do that. And the clock keeps ticking on Chris Paul. And I just can't – I think on paper, I mean, I've not done the exercise, and I'll do that at some point before the season starts. I'll go through the process. And I think there's a decent chance that I go through that process, and I assume Chris Paul is fully healthy and the player he was last year, that I will see Phoenix as the best team in the West. But am I going to pick Phoenix to come out of the West? That's a pick based on Chris Paul is going to be healthy for 4 rounds of the playoffs, and or at least 3 rounds of the playoffs. And I don't know how you can have faith in that at this point.
I'll wrap up with Oklahoma City. They get a B, but I guess my question is, when are they going to like, when do you think they're going to start to be good? They've been doing this process for quite a while now. They have Josh Giddey, and they've got Shea Gillis-Alexander, and now they got Chet Holmgren, and they added another two. They added an 11. Odieng, that's who they added. At what point do they start saying, okay, let's win some games?
Well, probably not this year because they get a chance to be bad and it's a Victor Wembanyama draft.
That's
right?
Exactly right.
So it feels like okay, this is one more year of like let's try to have a high lottery pick and then let's go. And I think a Josh Giddey Chet Holmgren combination as a foundation works on that timetable, works in terms of that strategy. Right. They're reaching the point with Shea Gillis-Alexander where there's real decision point of. Is he part of the future, or is he, or if we're still in the yellow light, you know, range of our rebuild, do we need to move him? And I think that's the real decision point. Are they building with Shea Gillis-Alexander, or are they slow rolling this still so much that maybe they should think about moving him?
Do you think they're going to be a monster?
He's on a max contract now.
Do you think they're building a future monster? It's just don't know.
I don't know about that. I think Holmgren is interesting, but I don't look at – I mean, that's the thing about the last year's draft. I think all those guys looked good in summer league, the guys at the top, especially Ben Caro and Holmgren and Keegan Murray, who we just talked about. But I don't see a John Moran in there. I don't see an Anthony Edwards in there. I just don't see it. And so I think Giddey and Holmgren are real interesting, but I don't know if they're – number one player in a contender interesting or they're ever going to be. And so I think that gives you another reason to, okay, let's try to be bad. Can we be bad one more year without killing our team? I'm going to have to let you go because my toe tap is calling.
Go. Thank you. All appreciate right. it. That is Chris Arrington from the Daily Memphian.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.